This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. It's hour three, G-Bag Nation, 105.3. The Fan got some Rangers news here for you. We'll go around the bases now because coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, Jared Sandler is going to be 20 minutes away. He's going to join us at 6:20 this evening. So we'll have that Friday news dump. And, you know, hey, we got 3 hours of sports here still on the way for you. Wolchuk's top 10 at 4:20 is about 20 minutes away as he's out today taking a three-day weekend. Send him some love on social. Let him know he's missed. Chief will have those broadcast responsibilities, Brian.
Chief, what do you got for your top 10?
I saw, actually, Wolchuk pointed me in the direction of the Athletics. They have their top, like, 15 spring training cliches.
Nice.
So I thought we could do just top 10 sports cliches, but okay. I'll read off the baseball spring training ones.
Love it.
And, you know, just prep our bodies for our excursion into Surprise next week and see how many cliches we can hone in on throughout the week next week.
I had a top 10 list for best cities for heavy drinkers in the U.S.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Did Portland hit that one?
Milwaukee's number one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Can we give you the 10?
New York?
New York is not in the top 10.
Miami. Wow.
Miami is not in the top 10. Milwaukee, New Orleans.
New Orleans, son of a gun.
Oh, wow.
Las Vegas.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Dawson, it was in the clouds here. I saw Portland, Oregon's number four.
Yeah.
Chicago, Illinois, number five.
Could've
Denver, Colorado,
one.
Number six. Hmm. Austin, Texas, seventh.
Good call. Bottoms
Boston,
up.
Boston, Mass is in eighth.
Cheers.
Nashville, Tennessee is ninth. And San Francisco, California is 10th.
Good restaurant towns as well. We're going out. We're having food. We're boozing it up. We got vineyards in the area, mm-hmm. as is the case of San Francisco, I suppose. And well, a lot of spring stuff in the air. Thank you for that top 10, Brian.
Yeah,
another one now right around the corner. Yeah. We have the draft coverage. We have spring training baseball. You know, obviously the Stars and Mavs coming down. The stretch here. The hockey game last night, though, before we move on to the rest of the hockey, hit 9.3 million viewers. Very strong rating. That's the highest ever for an NHL telecast, although I don't think that actually counts as an NHL game, even though they're saying it's the highest NHL game ever. Hmm. That felt like a world championship of hockey.
Yeah. I think the NHL might have put it on. You
know, yes. Yeah, they did.
The presenting sponsors, I guess.
And it's interesting, like, should other sports borrow that formula? And, you know, how could you engineer that to get competition? Obviously, it gets really tough in football, but I think baseball, like, the template is there, yeah. and the quality around the world is there that you could do something. Wouldn't it be better if you got the best pitchers who at midseason were already in midseason form, not in spring training form? You know, and in basketball, I think
They're trying that, aren't they, with the world? They're kind of talking about the U.S. versus the world.
And I don't know if that works, but I think, like, the U.S. versus other continents could.
A lot of great players from Africa now. A lot of great players in Europe. You could do Asia plus Australia. You could do Canada plus South and Central America. I think there's ways to engineer it that could create competition.
That thing went 10 days. That was a nice break for the hockey folk.
Yeah.
You know, except for the ones who were actually playing in the games and getting boarded.
You imagine Team Europe, though, with Giannis and Jokic and Luka? Yeah. They might win it.
Yeah. Right.
And now you're talking about a really great final and maybe semifinal.
Well, that's what Stephen A. Smith was saying today. Like, the NBA doesn't want that because the American players know that they would lose.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know if he's just trying to create some bulletin board material to fire them up. And I thought it was kind of a nice, like, big brain thinking here of just by way of motivating the American players to be like, no, hell no, this is ours.
Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith said that today?
I believe so.
Cameron said that the day after.
Or the day before?
I'm talking about the day after the All-Star.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cam was like, you need to line it up, Euros versus Americans.
Oh, Cam knows who he's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows.
He's a New York baller, in a sense, you know, I guess. He's
in the playground.
Yeah.
I think it'd be tough.
About that?
I don't know if you'd be favored.
You're not favored.
There's a lot of good players in there.
Yeah, they're going to smack you up, bro.
And that's what would make it very compelling and amazing to watch on TV. Okay, it was too late last time I got a Rangers update here. The spring training is underway. They're playing the Royals this afternoon. We might be heading for a tie. I've been looking for updates, but I haven't been able to find one for a few minutes now. But they got a string of hits. And they tied it at 2. Last I got was the top of the 8th inning, Chief. Do you see anything new?
Let me see here. MLB.com.
MLB.com.
5-2. The Royals have exploded here in the bottom of the 8th.
Some guy wearing number 84 probably did it.
Pushed three across. I guess Eovaldi gave up a couple of runs. Okay, Wyatt Langford's going to be out a few days or maybe a week or so with an oblique strain. If this guy becomes injury prone after what we've just gone through with the Mavs, if you have young Carter Langford all showing the talent to be, a perennial all-stars or whatever, we got to catch a break if we're going to pull this dang dynasty together. I'm already looking at Evan Carter as a short-term player. I can't be having my Langford join the Josh Young training table crew. Which player are you most interested or excited for to watch in surprise next week or excited about for the upcoming season? You have, of course, you have stars like Seager. You have Adolis who's going to chase 50. You have the 18-year-old Walcott. That could be a dynasty maker if that comes together.
They're showing him and hitting BP, and if you didn't know any better, you'd be like, this is a 27-year-old fully grown man standing tall in the box, ready
to go.
He is well put together, and you're like, oh my gosh, he's about to turn 19 years old. He's definitely a guy I'm excited to see.
Could the Cowboys sign him?
Yeah. What type of are you a dual sport athlete here, bro?
How about our new catcher?
Higashioka?
I mean, him
and Heim, both of those guys, because the wear and tear on Heim for the World Series year was huge.
It was
a relentless year for him, and that's obviously a very taxing position. So if you can get a guy in Higashioka to eat some of those starts for him, keep Heim fresh,
some power,
and then, and then he brings that element of power as well into the lineup, and then just have a more fresh Jonah Heim once you get into the postseason, I think that would be huge.
Sorry if I messed up there. The Rangers are losing 5-2.
They are
bottom of the 8th out there in surprise. But a lot of players to be excited about.
I think
Brian,
we're in the top of the 9th.
Top of the 9th.
I think we're batting now.
You got your rally cap on?
It's a good point. Yeah.
Stella.
Kamar Rocker currently ranked number 44 in the top 100 baseball prospects. I that's my guy. And I think by the end of April, he could look like a rookie of the year type guy. The slider's pretty damn unhittable. 66% swing and miss rate last year between the minors and the big leagues. I guess there's Roki Sasaki, and then there's Jackson Jobe with the Tigers, who's like some freak in nature, throws 102 mile an hour. But I would not be surprised if Kamar Rocker, becomes that young, great pitcher and allows us to reimagine what's possible for this.
I just know watching a lot of SEC baseball that when him and Leiter, it was a Friday, Saturday thing.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt was like unbeatable.
They were.
I hope that those guys can relive some of that, get back to the dominance they were as SEC pitchers.
And I did see, in regards to Rocker, he made an appearance on the six phenoms to watch this spring list.
Okay.
So
six of them.
Yeah, there's six of them. And Sasaki was one of them, as you mentioned, for the Dodgers. Dylan Cruz, another guy that is a bigger name, young stud. But Kamar Rocker was on the list of the six phenoms to watch this spring.
I mean, what he did last year got you thinking, if he can just get his control dialed in a little bit more, you could be looking at a very special type of player. And obviously, health is going to be a concern. But, I think he's only thrown like a little bit over the last 3 years. Is it even 100 innings? MLB statement on ESPN opting out of their broadcast agreement. Unfortunately, in recent years, we've seen ESPN scale back their baseball coverage and investment in a way that's not consistent with the sports appeal or performance on their platform. Given that MLB provides strong viewership, valuable demographics, and the exclusive right to cover unique events like the Home Run Derby, ESPN's demand to reduce rights fees is simply unacceptable. So they called it a mutual deal. But, guys, I think this is big news. I think it's a possible threat to the popularity level of baseball. You remember what it was like when hockey left ESPN. It hurt that sport. What did ESPN do yesterday? Wall-to-wall coverage of the Four Nations face-off final. What if ESPN shifts back to putting hockey on the main stage, and now you have to go looking for baseball? I mean, say what you want about ESPN. It is still the single greatest promotional and marketing vehicle for your sport, I think, in America. If you're if you're tied to them, it's still tens and tens of millions of viewers.
I think that baseball is upset with ESPN because of how they push other sports. You know, award-winning, the NBA coverage that they have with the studio shows and things like that. They have, NFL shows that they have.
They're better hot take sports. Baseball's not a hot take sport.
They've got ESPN is making it a big push for their basketball stuff. They're making a big push on their football stuff. And they're just telling baseball, hey, you know, when you have events, we'll show up and be a part of that. And I think that's where Rob Manfred and that crew is like, listen, why do you continually push other sports and not ours?
Yeah.
So I could see why they're having problems.
They say they have significant interest from both traditional media companies and streaming services who would like to obtain rights to MLB games. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a combination of your Amazon, Netflix, and maybe Fox picks it up, CBS, NBC. Manfred said in his memo to owners that ESPN was available in December in 53.6 million homes. That's down from its peak of 100 million homes in 2011, so over 14 years. And it was 69 million homes just back in 2021.
Yeah.
So this thing is falling significantly. By the way, sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to cut you down.
I think some of the streaming numbers that are being charged that Major League Baseball has taken over, ESPN's looking at it as like, wait a minute, you're giving these streaming packages much better deal than you're giving us.
Yeah.
Why do we have to pay
everything
for everything? Why do we have to pay and you're giving them deals?
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, wait a minute, our product is better. And he's pushing playoff numbers and all those things. But ESPN's like, okay, fine. But you're still giving the streaming companies deals.
Yeah.
You're not giving us any deal or any break. You're making us pay full price. And so that's a problem. By the way, it's the final in surprise. Kansas City 5, Texas 2.
That's tough. We'll get after him tomorrow.
Yep.
Of course.
Yeah, we'll get after tomorrow.
It's spring training. They're just figuring it out. The Yankees have ended their facial hair ban.
Yeah.
I know that disappointed you, Krusty. You really like.
I am no longer pulling for the
clean
Yankees.
Shaven look.
I am not.
You weren't pulling for the Yankees.
I am not pulling for the Yankees anymore, just because of this.
You can now grow well groomed facial hair, probably no neck beard.
Bobby Belt could not play for the Yankees.
Vlade Divac is out.
Yeah,
Andrew Luck. I don't know if you do a Jason Worth or Duck Dynasty type of beard, a ZZ Top type of beard. I think that might be out.
I think
that's out too.
I think they want it to be well groomed,
Raleigh Fingers with the.
I would assume that's in. Yeah. I think that's well groomed, isn't it?
The stash is fine. I mean, they've always been cool with the stash. That's as far as they've been able to take it over the years. But now the beard you're allowed to have. I do wonder if there's going to be like right before you walk out of the clubhouse or whatever to go into the game? Is there going to be somebody with the Yankees that's kind of looking at you saying, hey, you pass, hey, get back in there, clean that up a little bit? I don't know. I wonder what there's obviously going to be some gray area here.
Yeah.
But I think this is great news. Now, it's a bummer for guys like Rugi, who needed that beard more than anything and had to, I think there was a guy that they just brought in who had been growing out his beard for like the last 6 years and shaved it.
Thinking
because it's now spring training time, and then now he gets the news that, oh, it would have been fine anyways.
Do you think they would support you that time when you shaved half your beard and showed up for work that day?
That's probably going to be a little too eccentric for them. Because even though that was well-groomed, I mean, I was dialed with the two-face look.
You did. You had the two-face
look. Beard clean.
Right.
But that would probably be too much for them. To look at me.
Yeah, their front office is going to be kind of worried about their money after that. Like, oh, boy. We gave them $1 million. Look at them.
Yeah, this guy's got a screw loose, man.
Well, it does open it up for some tremendous marketing opportunities, so maybe they can make the most of it. But
get some new sponsors out there.
The end of an era here in a couple of ways. Baseball no longer on ESPN, and Beard's no longer out with the Yankees.
49 years strong of that rule.
Wow.
They finally get with the times.
I don't think I could have played for him with all the razor bumps I get. I'd have been like, sorry. Can I knock it down with a set of clippers every morning? It looks, you know, kind of short.
Yeah, just do a zero instead of going right to the bone.
Get a no-shave chit from them. That's what you get in the military.
Yeah.
You got to beg and plead. Please, please. It breaks me out. Oh, my God.
My skin doesn't react well.
Yeah, I mean, they'll tell you, oh, you got to use hot water. You got to use cold water. You got to go against the grain. You got to go with the grain. I'm like, dude, if I shave 2 days in a row, it is over.
You look like Lawrence Fishburne before they say, all right, you don't need to shave anymore.
Yeah. Okay, I do have 6 reasons to believe that if LeBron leaves the Lakers, he will be a Maverick. That's coming up at 4:40. Oh. But a top 10 at 4:20 is next. Chief, where are you taking us?
I have the top 10 best MLB spring training cliches. What's your favorite sports cliche? 877-881-1053. That's next right here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time for the top 10 at 4:20. Segment of the Nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels as well. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call Franklin Frankel 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Now here's the chief for the Woolly Bully.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. What are we now, boys? 48 hours. We'll be boarding a flight to Surprise, Arizona, ready to in 5 days worth of Rangers baseball. And the beginning of a new championship opportunity is going to be right there in front of us. Broadus can't stop talking about how he's going to be just boozing it up in the press box during the show. He's trying to decide if he wants to go all 5 days boozed up or if at this age he can only handle maybe a couple of days dipping and swimming into the Tito's. But, yeah, this is going to be an exciting time. We get Wolchuk back. Last year we had a Woolly Bully size hole in the lineup.
We did.
We did.
And we had to really
made it without him.
I know, dude. I know. It was tough sledding. But we put together a nice little list of ridiculous questions, uncomfortable clubhouse conversations with the players. So this
is exciting. I think they're a big fan of you guys.
I continue to add to my list of concession items, so we'll unveil those probably Monday, take the temperature. I'll be asking the players, hey, what do you think about this? And I think to the players, I'm going to paint it like, hey, this is already set in stone. Like, this is happening, just so you know. So they can get to talking a little bit about it. Like, hey, I'm excited for my, you know, my loaded Jacob deGromlet. You know, and if Jacob says that, all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's going to be popping up on a menu there, right?
Jacob,
so I'm trying to like circumvent the process here to where the players are speaking about it like it's reality. And so then Casey Rapp and Company, who's dialing up the best concession items in
They're
all of
really
baseball,
yeah.
throw some stuff on the menu for us, man.
Mm-hmm. What comes in a deGromlet?
Oh, I'm going to ask him.
Okay.
Hopefully. Now, he's a little hide-and-seeky when it comes to, but now he's actually healthy. He's playing. He's here. He's established.
I can get you in the weight room if you want to.
Get me in the weight room?
Yeah, I can get you in the
weight room. Oh, yeah, I know. You know how to back channel.
I know exactly
where to get you in the Maricopa County clink.
I can get you in that door. I know exactly where to go. Right, Dawson?
Yeah. Have you out there in Tent City.
Mm. Yeah, but I'm going to ask DeGrom. Hopefully we get that opportunity. But, like, what would you like to – what would be the items, the ingredients in a deGromlet? You get to pick that.
You know, I want bacon, cheese, and maybe some like hash browns or potatoes. Mm. You can dice them up a little bit, but I go like, you know, just pretty.
There was no veggies in there.
No.
Imagine that.
Ooh. No onions. Mm-hmm. No
Definitely no mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. What would be, if you could only, Lucius, if I was making you a deGromlet right now and you could only put one item in it other than the egg, of course. Why do I think cheese is the most important item?
Yeah, even cheese over, is like the next base.
Even over like the sausage or the bacon. Yeah,
cheese is like the next base because you can have cheesy eggs, cheesy scrambled eggs, and they're amazing.
10 out of 10.
So next base, then you lay the meats.
Right.
And then your veggies.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's how I play it. Like if I was just going to have
you're
one.
You're missing out. You don't even know what an omelet is at this point.
Well, okay, so I had a skillet last week when we were out to breakfast once, and I said, go ahead and leave the onions and the peppers in there because I do like the flavor.
Okay.
But they were too small to pull out.
Yeah.
And I went for it on a couple of bites, and I can promise you I don't like that at all. Like the crunch of it.
It's crazy, bro.
See, I like the onions that Brian will put in a meal because mm-hmm. he really cooks them down for me.
Yeah, I try.
But if they're anywhere near fresh and they start crunching, it totally ruins the bite. Like, I got to spit the whole thing out.
Every meatball sub.
Grown-ass man.
Every meatball sub I've made for you and every meatloaf that you've ever eaten that I've made has had onions in it.
Yeah, well, you're doing great work, sir. Keep it up.
Top 10 sports cliches. What are yours? I actually have the official MLB spring training cliches.
Okay.
As we prep our bodies for Surprise Arizona. This comes courtesy of The Athletic. We start with the outside looking in. Honorable mentions. We have the quote, I don't want to leave anybody out. Does that ring any bells for what that might be? That is a manager talking about, it's open competition.
Yeah, like, I don't want to leave anybody out.
We're not going to shortchange anybody, but right. in the back of his mind, he knows this is like a one- or two-man race for the position, but he's trying to keep everybody motivated during spring training to make it seem like this is wide open.
Did you hear what the skip said?
Yeah.
He's not leaving anybody out. It's a meritocracy.
The other honorable mention here, quote, my expectations for myself are higher than anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an easy hitter right there for players as they're starting to talk about the season and their own expectations.
Yeah. We know that's true for guys like John Gray and Jack Leiter. You can see it all over their face when they're on the hill.
They beat themselves up.
Yeah.
And then finally, honorable mention, we don't pay attention to projections because obviously this is preseason projection time. We're giving the power rankings. We're trying to foresee what's going to happen in the future here.
Now that's for everybody else on the outside, you know. We're just working on day by day. Another cliche for you.
Boom. Hit it. We have the Tolos texting in about their favorite sports cliches right now. Just in general, you have the it ain't over till it's over, 903. Mm-hmm. Not over till the fat lady sings, 817.
Did we say that best shape of my life type vibes? Yeah,
yeah. There we go. There we go. Ding, ding, ding.
Good job,
Lucius. Good call. 940 texting that in as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another fun, easy sort of icebreaker question in the clubhouse. You know, is this truly best shape of your life season? And those guys are usually pretty honest about, hell no, it is not.
Yeah.
It's a wide variety of body types when you go into an MLB clubhouse. I'll be honest. You have your Adolises. You know, yeah. You have your sort of Greek god, mythical, oh, yeah, this guy definitely is a professional athlete in some realm just based on his build. And then you have, like, the Josh Sportses of the world. And you're like, okay, you know, there's a little something for everybody in here.
Yeah, yeah, you can be a great athlete as a baseball player without appearing to be athletic at all.
Coming in at number 10 on the top 10 MLB spring training cliches, the quote, I cut out X this offseason in terms of their diet. Oh, yeah, wow. You know, had to
process sugar.
Mm-hmm. Process sugar, absolutely, whatever it is, trying to get a little bit leaner.
Pop-Tarts.
I do love when they get super specific about it. Like, I have a Pop-Tart problem, and so we had to really zero in on that. And it's amazing how if you really are obsessed with one particular processed sugar item and you are hammering that thing mm-hmm. constantly, by simply just removing that one thing and changing nothing else, what that can do for you. I did see Jackson Holliday, the youngster for Baltimore, 21 years old.
Baltimore.
180 pounds he was as a rookie. He showed up to spring training looking like a different person. He's put on at least 20 pounds.
He cut out steroid-free living.
He's bulked up in a big way.
He what says, does dad help him with?
Lifting heavy things and a lot of ground beef and rice, he says.
That Canelo ground beef.
Yeah, it's tainted.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what percentage, like what was his ratio? Was he going with like an 80-20? Was he going like a 70-30? Was he trying to get super lean with it? But the bulk is real. You can see it in the photos of him. He was just a scrawny 180-pounder. Now he's definitely a 200-pounder, bulked up, and just
still
a lot
like
of beef
shrunk
and rice.
Wrap? Still like lean?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, wow. I can show you the picture of him right here.
Okay, because a lot of those times I wonder, that guy put on a gut or he's got a big butt now.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
He's still dialed.
Yeah, you can see the arms looking pretty good. He hasn't crossed over to, oh my gosh, you got to be careful with the bulk. But yeah, Jackson Darnold, one of those guys.
The one I hope we don't have to hear very often, Chief, and I used to hate when Jason Garrett would say this, is next man up.
Mm.
We're not, no. That guy, there's a reason that dude's making $30 million and that guy's making $800,000. Yeah, we're not doing next man up.
Yeah, we're not doing next man up, especially when you're hearing it constantly, and then you just know, okay, that means our entire roster is broken.
How about
right
the media
now?
Is blowing this out of proportion?
Oh, that's a good one.
That'd be Sandler for you.
Yeah, the media is blowing that one out of proportion. Yeah.
Well, number 9 on the spring training MLB cliches, quote, I think we can surprise some people. Obviously, that's a no-brainer for the teams that nobody has many expectations for. Let's go ahead and hit him with this. Now, we're going to surprise some people this year. Number 8, the quote, I went to Driveline. Now, if you're not familiar, Driveline is a pitching development factory in Washington. Yeah. So a lot of times pitchers off a bad year will head to Driveline to go reinvent themselves as a pitcher. So that is, I went to Driveline.
Wasn't that Dane Dunning? Didn't Dane Dunning do that? He told us about
Driveline Dane Dunning. That's almost picked up like full steam his nickname. Yeah. It's true. Number 7, quote, I just hope we can all stay healthy.
Yeah.
That's already came and went for the Rangers, as Wyatt Langford's going to be out for the next 5 to 7 days. Minor oblique strain. Just minor. When is an oblique strain ever just minor?
Never.
Come on.
Never.
Nathaniel Lowe was out like 6 weeks because of one of those things.
I mean, AD was out for a month, came back, and is out again for another month. Turned into an adductor.
Number 6, spring training cliches, just getting my work in. Just grinding, chipping away.
It's amazing how some of these guys can string these things together and have entire conversations with just getting my work together. And at the end of the day,
we're going to surprise some people.
He's a grinder.
Yeah.
He's a warrior. That guy's a warrior. Yeah. That's all you always say about a team. That guy's a warrior.
214. I'm just happy to be here. I hope I can help the ball club in any way. Yeah, I think something like that's going to make an appearance here. Here it is. Number 5, quote, I'll do anything they need me to do.
Yep, there you go.
Now, that is definitely not Rafael Devers.
No.
That's not the perspective that he has, but many of the guys in a baseball clubhouse will feel that way.
It is that way for Mookie Betts, though. Did you see he's still trying to figure out shortstop? 32 years old, hasn't played short since high school, played second earlier in his career, but he's been in outfield forever. He's like, I can see we got good corner outfielders. I'll go play short, guys.
even if it means maybe embarrassing myself from time to time. Like, yeah. You have to be open at that point, 32 years old, despite how great you are, Mookie Betts, making that type of transition. You have to understand in your own mind, yeah, you know what? I might make an appearance on SportsCenter's Not Top 10 this year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just have to wrap your arms around that idea. And that's the ultimate sign of a team player. Number four, quote, I'm just glad I don't have to face him. When talking about a teammate, we're going to hear that a lot when we start asking about DeGrom or Seager or whatever. Just glad I don't have to face Jock Peterson's now. Just glad we don't have to see him anymore. You know,
who'd they do that with last week? Was it on the Hot Stove Show? And it turned out he was like 2 for 5 with a dong against DeGrom. No, I think there was one of those. Yeah. Well, how'd you do against him? Actually, pretty good. I must have just got lucky.
Batting like 480. Yeah.
Number three, quote, the way he goes about his business.
Yep, there you go.
We know Marcus Semien.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Probably leads the team in the way he goes about his business. 1A, 1B with Seager.
Evaldi
maybe for sure.
Holding it down for the pitchers in the business department.
Number two, it's a wide open competition. Trying to light a fire under everybody. And speaking of everybody, number one MLB spring training cliche, as we are 48 hours away from hopping on a bird to surprise Arizona, it's spring training for everybody.
Let's go. Yes, it is. Jared Sandler is going to join us coming up at 6:20, Friday news dump at 6 o'clock. But coming up next, 6 reasons that if LeBron James leaves the Lakers, I believe he will be a Maverick. And that's coming up next right here in the G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. I put together the ultimate and definitive 6 reasons that if LeBron James leaves the Lakers, he will be coming to the Mavericks. Thank you, Lucius. I also have the worst Shaq story ever. Did you guys see the Shaq story?
Wait, there's another one? Because there's some bad ones out there with Shaq. Pranking?
Yeah, kind of pranking.
Yeah, it's not a prank to me.
No. Okay. I would have to either be traded or be taken downtown.
Yeah.
Something be crazy happening. But Shaq, I mean, maybe we finally got an explanation for that line in the song he did about his buddy Kobe. And maybe that's what he did Kobe like that. Maybe.
That's hilarious.
Right? That's what I thought of. Okay, so you got to stick around till number 6, though. And I've actually added a bonus reason, number 7, throughout today's show. Oh. So you're actually going to get 7 reasons.
All right.
If this flops, we'll go to the Shaq story. But not only, number one, not only does he love Jason Kidd, he also had a great relationship with former Lakers, current Mavericks assistant Jared Dudley, writing on X when Jared Dudley took the job with the Mavericks that one really hurt. Okay, so you have a head coach, you have an assistant coach. Number two, not sure if you guys saw this, Nico was described last summer as an uncle to Bronny James. The Mavs were one of the other teams that would have drafted him if the Lakers passed. Nico apparently like family at the James household, which is relevant for Bronny, but also LeBron. Now, you remember just 2 days ago, we did the story of CEO Rich Paul talking about, now that Anthony Davis is with the Mavericks, I couldn't do anything about it. I usually know about all of the trade, didn't know about this one. So now, you know, it's time to make them as good as possible. But that was just an extra one. Number three, you remember LeBron's disappointment when they missed out on the Kyrie Irving trade?
Yes.
He talked about and used the word disappointment, which is, you know, how reasonable employees who don't want to fight the boss express dissatisfaction with the bosses. I'm disappointed. Then in free agency, they didn't do what LeBron wanted for the first time in his time in Los Angeles.
True.
They were like, actually, no, we're not going to get Kyrie Irving because you want him. Maybe that was the beginning of the end. And again, LeBron James can opt out at the end of this season.
And, I mean, I'll just to add on to that a little bit, after they traded for Luka, and then they were trying to immediately go get the big from Charlotte that the trade ended up falling through.
Williams.
Yeah. But that was because they were doing what Luka said that he wanted. He wanted a big man that could be a lob threat. And so they immediately went and tried to appease Luka. And there were reports after that LeBron and his camp were a little bit annoyed of like, wow, Luka comes in here and he's immediately getting what he wants.
Yeah.
And LeBron, outside of the Anthony Davis stuff, now I guess you're not going to consider the Bronny factor of him obviously strong-arming that, but that wasn't actually win necessarily right now. Other than Anthony Davis, I think LeBron and his camp feel like they haven't done the things from a roster standpoint that he's been wanting them to do over the course of the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it lines up where LeBron might be thinking, man, it's not going to be my show here for the last couple of seasons. And maybe elsewhere it would be. Kyrie, after the trade, this is reason number four. After the trade to the Mavs, reportedly had strong interest in reuniting with LeBron, whether in L.A. or Dallas. I don't know if he says that, if he and LeBron haven't been discussing. I mean, after the Mavs were eliminated, Kyrie actually went to those Lakers games and sat courtside. I just think that symbolizes that that's a pretty special relationship, and why wouldn't it be? They won a championship coming from 3-1 down against Golden State together. When AD was traded on Instagram, LeBron posted a picture of the two hugging on the court, but on LeBron's name tag, he put a crying sad face emoji over his nameplate. Maybe, you know, this isn't the, you know, the biggest thing that I could show you, but I think it talks about a significant emotional connection as well. LeBron, with a lengthy history of trying to play with his best friends, and, you know, for all that Luka appreciates about LeBron, I think it's different when you're talking about the years between some of these guys. Okay, and then number six, I think this might be the most important thing. LeBron's ultimate goal as a businessman, do you know what that is? Is to own an NBA
team,
in the city of Las Vegas,
okay,
where you would come and establish a relationship with one of the three most influential families in all of Las Vegas that could help clear things for you.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's already a billionaire. I think I would add that as number seven, just because you're going to have to do some kind of cap gymnastics to get him. Either he settles for the mid-level exception. But in recent days, Rich Paul has been talking about sometimes as players, you have to take less in the immediate for a bigger payoff down the road. And if you're LeBron James, the bigger payoff would be moving out of the Magic Johnson 4 championship club into number 5 or number 6, and the marketability of your brand for really forever as you legitimately join Jordan in the 6 championship ring GOAT conversation. That brings significant amount of credibility to your career, especially if you were able to do it on the other side of 40. You know, I think the only reason maybe it didn't happen with the AD trade, they couldn't tell LeBron to get him to waive his no trade clause. You know, because I'm thinking right now, if I'm the Mavs, you know, we could have done this at the trade deadline. But obviously, you know, if LeBron found out, then that whole thing breaks apart. It might have gutted the Mavs too much. So yeah. I think a lot of it would hinge on him and Kyrie's willingness to take less to reunite without having to get rid of their bigs and their wing players.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you paint quite the picture there. And I do wonder if the way Cleveland has rebuilt themselves up, if the call back home to like sort of finish the career back in Cleveland, because they are
they're
contenders there in the East. They're probably not quite Boston, but they easily could be in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. Could he think he's one piece away to going back and winning more for Cleveland? As I try to like come up with other destinations, if he really does just want to punt on L.A., in the offseason, I think Cleveland would be another one to obviously have to consider, because you can do some winning there, it seems, with the way they're constructed right now. But, yeah, I forgot about all the relationships he had on this coaching staff, even with Nico Harrison. Of course, you know the Kyrie stuff. He was trying to get Klay Thompson to the Lakers this offseason.
Yeah.
Klay obviously chose the Mavericks. So
I mean, there's even more stuff. You know,
there's plenty of dots to connect.
I wonder how he would look at Cleveland. You know, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, a couple of other players.
Stylistically, it might not be something he wants to get into.
You know how the pecking order goes with you and Anthony Davis, and the on-court chemistry goes with you and Kyrie Irving. That's going to be really at the top of my mind as we get set to run this season out and see, you know, where LeBron James is leaning, because I think you could come here and be like, I'm still going to be the leader. We're in Los Angeles. The Lakers are trying to push it to a Luka-led, you know, future, and maybe they might be looking forward to a total teardown and getting, you know, the other big contracts off their books. Okay, I don't know how you react to this. Maybe you get a padlock for your locker, But Jason Richardson says Shaquille O'Neal once took a teammate's mouthpiece out and inserted it into the darkest and disgusting orifice on a human's body.
Yeah.
Then took a toothbrush and stirred it in the same canal, if you will. Pulls a mouthpiece out of his bleep and puts it in Lou Amundsen's locker. Then he grabs Lou's toothbrush and stirs it in his bleep. Amundsen unknowingly used the mouthpiece in a game. Is this lawsuit material? Like, I think when you're the player in the situation, maybe you feel like I'm getting bullied and this is the check and I can't demand out or I'm going to look weak or whatever.
Do I want to go full Jonathan Martin in this thing?
The whole bench lost it. Lou, Lou didn't know. Lou didn't know what happened until later when we told him Shaq had put it in his.
His hiney.
Anything in your locker room has basically been in Shaq's butt. Throw it all away, is what Jason Richardson said they told, or Matt Barnes says they told Lou Robinson.
Yeah, you have to, nobody can feel comfortable in that particular locker room. You have to question everything you touch.
Yes.
Has this been in the hind parts of the biggest human being anyone's ever seen?
I think I'm putting a padlock on my locker. Maybe I'm bringing some sort of a mobile safe, if you will. Like, I've been traded to Shaq's team. I need to get one of those bedside safes now with a
fireproof,
handle on it.
Fireproof safe. Yeah.
That would be an easy one to consider. Maybe you just show up to the arena in your uniform, ready to go. Like, you're not doing any of your toiletry stuff in the locker room.
Toothbrush and mouthpiece.
Still
home.
Good luck. Remember, he used to poo in buckets and pour it on rookies.
Yeah, see, that's the other. I remember, was it Gary Payton that was telling that story? Man. Like, and that's, I mean, what's worse? I don't know. They're both absolutely awful. And it's like, it's Shaq, so there's.
Yeah, there's not a lot you can do.
Size of rhinoceros turds.
Yeah, dude, that's the. Yeah, you'd think that came out of the zoo or something. Like this, this came out of the African plains. This isn't even poo. This is classified as dung. Like at some point, poo graduates to dung, and I think Shaq is in that realm.
I think he's also in the realm of possibly Jordan as the meanest superstar to his teammates ever. In light of these.
And it's funny because he thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
Like he's just laughing at it. He's not even thinking this is malicious at all.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Gary Payton called him a jokester. That's not a joke.
No, a joke would be like replacing the mouthpiece and saying like, oh yeah, that was in Shaq's ass. And everybody laughs about it. But haha, we're just kidding. It wasn't. We scared you, but it wasn't.
Yeah, that's a joke.
That's a joke. This is actually going through. This is heinous. And I do think lawsuit stuff is on the table.
Heinous?
Yeah, H-A-N-U-S.
In addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, where are you taking us?
Chapel Bill trolling his balls off. And don't tell a friend of the program, Lewis Riddick, that there's not a top flight quarterback in this draft class next year in the nation.